When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to the Niall or Nine podcast.
Hello.
Hiya. It's Niall here and Andrea Cleary.
Hello. That was the one, Niall.
That was the
what
one.
What is that?
I don't know. I just shook something for extra effect. How are we all?
Sweet.
And good. By all, I mean yep. You.
It's
and everyone who's listening, just shout at me. I can hear you. I'm sure.
How all are you all? Cats and chicks out there in radio land.
But listen, you're going away. You're for a while in March. you're going far. You're going somewhere.
I'm going
quite
far away. I'm going to India for a wedding, and then I'm going kind of about the place in India. I will be traveling the Golden Triangle, which is Jaipur, Delhi, and Agra, and I'm very nervous because I, embarrassingly enough, have never left Europe, unless you count the United Kingdom. And I've never been on a plane for longer than 2.5 hours. So
wow. Okay. Wow. Wow.
Never had a visa. Like it's
shit.
It's a whole thing. So
you got your shots and all?
Got my shots.
Just when you did, and
my
you
visa
said yes
tomorrow. Yeah, it's very nerve wracking, but also like I'm obviously so excited. But yeah. Yes, I will not be here for like basically the majority of March. But don't worry, listeners, you will have already heard a pre-recorded episode of me and Niall. We're getting it all in now before I leave. But you will be fending for yourself for a couple of weeks.
I have some things lined up in March.
Okay.
You'll be back late March, I believe, is that right?
Late March.
You're not missing the whole month, are you? You're missing the whole month?
No. Not the whole month, no.
Close enough, though.
And I will be having a house sitter. So anyone out there who's thinking about coming into my house and taking my stuff while I'm away, don't. Because my house sitter knows karate. So, yeah.
And your other house sitter is a cat.
And my other house sitter, that's the one who knows karate. The human that's going to be here will be useless. You could absolutely take him down. But yeah.
Great. Okay. Well, it's the best of the month, best of February. It was a short month, of course. So maybe a little bit less music because you get a few days less, which means maybe sometimes you get like an album or week's worth less of music in a way. But that means March is going to be stuffed, but also lots to come. I have a few albums and a few things to talk about, but let's start with something that I knew you were going to pick and I left it to you because I'm glad you picked it.
Thank you.
It is Lana Del Rey, A&W. I'm going to try and play a bit of this because there's not much of it you can play to give it its full stature. So let's play a bit of, this is from Lana Del Rey's new song, A&W.
American Hooer.
haven't seen my mother in a long, long time. I mean, look at me, look at the length of my hair, my face, the shape of my body. Do you really think I give a damn what I do after years of just hearing them talking? I say I live in Rosemary.
So that's a bit of Lana Del Rey's A&W, a song from her forthcoming album. Certainly one that as soon as it came out, I was like, whoa, this is something extra. And like Lana obviously has a form in creating these kind of moments, but there's something about this one that to me feels like extra special. What about you?
Yeah, I feel like everything she's done since Norman fucking Rockwell has felt more maybe authentic in terms of my own listening to it. I like a lot of her stuff from before then, and I know a lot of Lana fans like really, really love her early stuff. And I love the singles. The album's never really hit for me. But I feel like everything she's done since Norman fucking Rockwell has been kind of quietly experimental. And the experimentation is kind of rooted and set in her, like, a growing confidence I see in her as a songwriter, and as a lyricist in particular. I mean, she's not afraid to throw a few, like, more than a few kind of mic drop moments in a song. And I like that confidence. Like, where Taylor Swift might have one or two, Lana's doing it in like nearly every line. It never gets, these days, I don't think, in her newer work, never gets cheesy. It doesn't kind of, you know, tipple over into that kind of like sassy girl music, maybe. But she's just so good at creating, and her and Jack Antonoff, we should say, who I think Lana is my favorite. Lana and Jack Antonoff is my favorite Jack Antonoff pairing when it comes to all the work that he's done with like a wide range of pop music over the last number of years. But they're my favorite pairing. I feel like he understands the kind of atmospheres that she's looking for and looking to create. And on this song, it feels like they're just having fun with it. They're experimenting with it. It's kind of split in half a bit, and both halves are as good as each other. For me, I think in the first half, we heard a little bit in the clip there, I think those harmonies in, I think it's maybe the pre-chorus or whatever way it's structured, are just so arresting. And so kind of like, I don't know, like maybe a bit standard when it comes to harmonies, but we don't hear a lot of that from her. We don't hear that kind of like wall of sound vocals from her a lot. It's usually her on her own because her voice can kind of carry herself on her own. So for me, when I first heard those harmonies come in, I was like, oh my God, this is just like heavenly. Like, it's so, so beautiful. And then obviously she has her kind of her mood and her old Hollywood aesthetic and how she breaks that down and how she kind of investigates it and interrogates it and really pulls at the thread of the kind of aesthetic she's known for. And I think she does it brilliantly in this song again. I can't wait for this album. I feel like it's going to be Like, what's the name of the album? It's
Did You Know There's a Tunnel Under Ocean Boulevard? And like, there's an extended version of that that Huck, she decided against.
If you're naming your album, Did You Know There's a Tunnel Under Ocean Boulevard? I'm like, yes, Lana. Like, fucking hook that to my brain, to my veins. Like, she's so herself, and I really feel her growing into a more complicated and nuanced portrayal of what she was doing with her earlier stuff as she grows and as she gets older and as she kind of starts reflecting on that. So
I think there's less reliance on artifice and kind of standard tropes with what she's doing these days. I think lyrics are more deeply interesting and intimate as well. There's, you know, there's really like bearing of the soul here and bearing of your personal life as well, whether it's real or imaginary. It kind of, it does feel real. And that's the thing, like this song to me is like a two-part vignette. It's theatrical like vignette of Lana in a hotel room and at different various points and looking for solace in the right or wrong places. And then there's the whole, like there's so many different references in there. There's a reference to an old film that kind of references the sexual exploitation that she is talking about throughout the song as well. Mm-hmm. There's loads of things like that. There's an interpolation of an old song that Tom Hanks sings in a doo-wop song that Tom Hanks sings in Big. And there's talk of mothers as well. And like that first line in the song, I haven't done a cartwheel since I was 9. I haven't seen my mother in a long, long time. There's lots to unpack here. And as well, there's a second part, which, you know, totally switches up the style. And just for reference, here's a little bit of what that sounds like. So yeah, it's the song is 7 minutes and 14 seconds long, and it has a wealth of things in it that you can unpack and enjoy, and really, it's like you can have a forensic analysis of the song as well. And I think it's one of the best things she's done in a long, long time, and certainly maybe what might be one of her best songs for me so far. And I mean, I actually didn't really hear. I don't remember hearing the song that came before this from the album. I think it came out early January or no, it was early December. It's the title track, actually. So I hadn't really heard that one. But this is the one that I just happened to be, you know, I clicked into and then I heard more about it. I was like, whoa, this is really special. So Milan is always a great album artist for me.
Yeah, me too. And I think with a song like this, like how she addresses kind of gender politics in it is really interesting and nuanced and mature. There's a kind of a petulance or a kind of a throwing up her hands at systems. And, you know, she talks about in the song, if I told you I was raped, do you really think that anyone would think I didn't ask for it? Like she's really dealing with what it is to be a woman in the media as well, and how a lot of her ideas of womanhood and femininity have been informed by difficult relationships or difficult like the disparity between maybe her relationship with her mother and the kinds of relationships she saw between mothers and daughters in the media. And she's obviously explored that within kind of like heterosexual relationships as well, and kind of always holding up love and relationships with men to this, you know, Hollywood ideal that she does explore really well. And just all of it is so, it's like a thesis. Like it's just great. It's just really, really good lyric writing. And then Jack Antonoff kind of takes it and pushes it and creates all of this atmosphere around it. And, you know, that really brave switch up and how different the first half of the song feels and sounds compared to the second half of the song, and yet they fit together so well, yet they feel of a piece, you know. I think it's amazing, and I agree with you. I think it is one of the best songs she's written, or one of the most kind of experimental and kind of artistic pieces that she's put out. Is there a music video for it? I never actually
No.
Okay. I'd like a music video for this.
Might come.
Might come.
You could imagine a very interesting cinematic piece for this.
Definitely.
Sure.
Yeah, like a kind of a Taylor's 10-minute All Too Well storytelling thing. And I also just think, like, Lana is someone, we talked about this a lot when we reviewed Norman fucking Rockwell. She's someone who, like, the visual aesthetic of their her music is very important as well. So I hope a video comes for this.
Yeah, absolutely. That's Lana Del Rey, A&W. Up next, she released her second solo album, Desire, I Want to Turn Into You. This is Caroline Polachek. This is the opening song from the album, Welcome to My Island.
Welcome to my island. Hope you like me. You ain't leaving. Welcome to my island. See the palm trees waving the wind. Welcome to my island. Hope you like me. You ain't leaving.
So that is Welcome to My Island by Caroline Polachek, a song that came out late last year, but I didn't really get into it until January. And I was first, it was one of those songs when I heard it, I was like, don't know about this one. And that happened to me a number of times with Caroline Polachek in the pre-release to this album. She had a song out called Sunsets, which was like this Spanish guitar song, and I was like, what the fuck is this? and then there was another song called Blood and Butter, which I might play in a bit, which has a bagpipe solo, and I was like, okay, there's lots going on here, and I'm looking forward to hearing the album. And as it turns out, I think it's really, really good. It's a weird pop album. It's the kind of album I would hope she would make. It's a pop album, but it's really off kilter. It's got Bunny as a writer on her breakthrough song. It has Grimes and Dido on the same track. But mostly it's just her being really good melodically. She's a brilliant lyricist. She's a brilliant vocalist particularly. And I really like what she does. There's a lot of, you know, mainlining of kind of pop tropes here that but sounds really good. But she's also like doing things that remind me of Enya. She's obviously covered stuff like The Corrs' Breathless before, and if you listen to that cover, you can really hear a lot of that in what she's doing here. A really interesting album, came out on Valentine's Day, and one I've been playing a lot at the moment. Here is a bit of the I actually really love this now. This is the bagpipes bit from Blood and Butter, and the person playing this is Breed Chambul, who's a Scottish folk artist.
We'll be right back.
Unapologetic collaborating with the likes of Charlie XCX, and Bunny's a Writer was a big massive song for her, and I really like what she's doing here. Interestingly, a lot of people were looking for an Irish gig from her recently, but it seems that the tour that she's on at the moment, which she maybe is just finishing up in Europe, is operating at a loss as well. So she's kind of one of those things that, you know, the conversation we talked about before, it's very hard for artists to tour. You would think that an artist like Caroline Polachek would be able to make that a reality in terms of not losing money, but it seems that she wanted to put extra cash into this kind of tour to really make it an event, a brave thing to do, but also you know, a very hard thing to do, especially if you're not making money. But I think she'll do well with this album. It's, I think a lot of people are winning her to succeed. It's a better album than her 2019's Pang for me. Yeah, that one didn't really it had So Hot You're Hurting My Feelings on it, but I don't think a lot of it really worked, where I think this one is a more complete piece. Have you heard this yet?
I haven't, and it's because anything I've heard from her that isn't So Hot You're Hurting My Feelings isn't as good as So Hot You're Hurting My Feelings, and that hurts my feelings. That second song you played sounds like a chorus song.
Yeah, yeah.
Like fully sounds like a chorus song, which I don't mind at all.
Yeah, well, it's a kind of a good example of you know, how she takes that kind of sound and makes it her own.
Mm, yeah, I will listen to this album. I'll give it a go. But I wasn't a big Bunny as a Rider fan.
Oh yeah,
I just kind of feel like she's one of those artists who has one song that is like one of my favorite songs ever, and then everything else I'm like, yeah, but none of it's that, you know.
Okay, all right. Well, I'll give it a go on your big long flight to India.
I will. I'll download it for the flight.
So your next choice is from Lisa O'Neill.
It is from Lisa O'Neill. It is called Old Note, and it sounds like this.
Feathered friend, dig up and resurrect me. I long to live among the song of birdies, a lawless league of lonesome, lonesome beauty. Skies and skies and skies above duty. The wind whistles you in behind the springtime. Float old note, new among my mind. You hold the note just moves the movement. Let go the note and so move everything. I can't come to quantify the feeling. I was walking home half in the dreaming. The things that I was thinking I was singing.
That was Old Note from Lisa O'Neill with accompaniment from Colm McInamara.
That's right. Yeah, Colm McInamara.
Nailed it. It is from her new album, All of This is Chance, which came out this month, I believe, or at least I heard it this month. Beautiful album. This is my favorite song from it. I'm a sucker for songs about music, and the lyrics on this are just so beautiful. And there's a lovely moment later on with a child kind of having a conversation with Lisa about being sad when a song is over. And Lisa kind of advises her that, you know, you can find a new song. And the child's like, nah. But it's very, very beautiful. I can't speak too much of the album overall because I've only listened to it, I think, once. But if you like, if you have enjoyed Lisa O'Neill's work thus far, you will love this. You'll love this record. But I think this song is just so beautiful and so kind of delicate and poetic and observant. And yeah, I just love it. Have you had a chance to listen to this album yet?
Yeah, just the once really. Not much more than that. I'm waiting for the right time in which to spend time with this Lisa O'Neill album, because it's a very particular place to hang out in, and I'd like to do that when I really feel like I have time, and that's generally not sitting at my desk working away. But
no, this isn't a background sounds for sitting at your desk for sure, because I think it rewards like paying a lot of attention to it. It's beautiful, it's really really lovely. I think she just never misses. She's great.
Right, that's Lisa O'Neill. Old note from All of This Is Chance. So up next, I was going to talk about the Young Fathers album, Heavy Heavy. Their first album in 5 years. I really like what they do. If you like the kind of gospel, hip hop, soulful music that they've been doing, you'll find it here again. By the time this comes out, they'd have played Dublin last week, and I'm sure it was great. But I decided instead of doing that, I want to talk a little bit about Skrillex, because this man has... there's just lots of discourse about him at the moment.
Is he living rent-free in your head? Are people still using that phrase?
No, I don't think so. What lives in your head rent-free? So Skrillex, right? So I actually... You could easily have ignored Skrillex for many, many years, and
you know, I have.
He's often been an object of derision in terms of electronic music since he came out, because a lot of what he did in the early days was take the music and the textures and the tropes of dubstep and remove the more interesting parts and make it into like it. Dubstep starts in Croydon in London in like early 2000s, and 10 years later, basically, like Skrillex takes it and turns it into brostep, is what most people call it. Like really dumb drops, and the drop became the thing that everyone talks about.
I have a really, really marvelous YouTube video essay to send you. I can't remember who it's by, but I'll send it to you, and if you want to put it in the show notes,
because okay,
it's about that, and also interestingly about how the death of dubstep can be linked to like the smoking ban, which I don't know if anyone has ever done like a proper research project on, but I would fund it, I would read it, but it's a brilliant brilliant video essay. I will send it to you, you'll love it.
Okay. So in 2011, I was at Berlin Music Festival, and Skrillex was playing the after party. And at that time, I was like, God, I hate Skrillex. So he was on after Public Enemy, and I went in to Public Enemy at the after party in this warehouse. Good fun. And then Skrillex came on, and I have to say, I had a great time, because it was just listen to me now. It was so silly, and there was just endless amount of drops. For after a full day at a festival, it just hit this next like level of like, this is so dumb. So I was calling it dumbstep for ages. So that was the last time I'd really thought about Skrillex, like 2011.
And you know what, Niall? It's important. Yeah. It's important to state that sometimes it's okay to be a bro. We're not sitting here saying being a bro is always bad. There's a time and a place. And I think the time and place is a Skrillex concert.
In fairness. I mean, he went on to release his debut album in 2014. I can't remember anything about it. What's interesting now is what has happened in the last 6 months to a year, is that, especially last 6 months, is Skrillex has been touring and playing with Fred Again and Fortet. And for a lot of people who are fans of Fortet, and to a lesser extent, Fred Again, this is a strange thing that has developed. They're playing three very... Fortet, for a lot of people, is, you know, dance music, electronic music, godfather, does whatever he wants, has his whole unique style, is very cerebral and interesting and intricate. And here he is, like last week, playing with Fred Again and Skrillex in Madison Square Garden. So I think for a lot of people, I've read a number of pieces in the last week, which has just been so interesting, of people who are like, I write about electronic music and I have been for 15 years. I've never written about Skrillex. I was like, but now they're trying to actively ignore him. I just think it's really interesting, because essentially Skrillex has become somewhat cool all of a sudden. And I think it's because things have progressed so much that the idea of this bro step and dubstep thing isn't really active anymore. But also, like, Skrillex has come back to fill that void of this kind of dumb, fun, big dance music with drops. Like, there are songs.
Like, it's Limp Bizkit for, yeah. Like,
but you know what? Like, I'm just like, I kind of just want to say, I'm not actually that mad about it. Like, because I know Flo Dan, who's a rapper who's often plays with the Bug, or raps with the Bug, and, you know, very cool English music. And he collaborates on one of the new Skrillex albums. The Skrillex has two albums out. One of them is a real pop album and one of them is a real dance album. And they both came out within 2 days of each other, all around this Madison Square Garden stuff. And then they did the Times Square, the Lot Radio, like cool underground kind of mainstream online radio that was streamed on YouTube on Friday last. So basically, they're hitting all of these notes all of a sudden. But I just think it's really interesting because I've listened to some of this stuff and I think it's really fun. So there's like three or four songs on the dancier album that I'm like, okay, I would stick this on the car. Absolutely no problem. Mm. Like, I'm enjoying it. And like, I just want to maybe mark that by saying this isn't something I think is absolutely amazing or brilliant. But I do think it's interesting that the reaction that people have, especially the legacy reaction of more traditional gatekeepers of electronic music to Skrillex's music is, it's definitely a legacy kind of thing, because there are kids growing up on TikTok who do not care about this. And a lot of this music is music made for, you know, big parties and big moments. Here's a few seconds of a song called Inhale Exhale from So look, what Skrillex is doing here is not a million miles away from what he was doing before, but I think he's definitely learned how to.
Is it
take...
me though, or is the bass in that track just like completely anemic? Maybe it's my headphones, but like
there's fine.
Nothing.
I think it's fine
going on there for me. Like in terms of like being in conversation with like dubstep or being a dubstep artist, I'm like the very doesn't... least I would expect is to like feel something from the bass.
Yeah, I think you can. I think that's a bit unfair because it's maybe you're using headphones on over a podcast call. Maybe that's not the fairest way in which to hear a sub bass. But my point about this really is that he's not really a dubstep artist anymore. Dubstep doesn't really exist. But he's also learned how to actually create dance music in a way that is in like his previous music was not even, and Pitchfork even admitted this as well. He didn't have any rhythm on any of his music before. There are songs on here which, especially the Quest for Fire album, which actually, you know, have the understanding of dance music dynamics. Not that that should be applauded necessarily, but I think look, he's doing interesting things somewhat. He's collaborating with interesting people, and I just think it's interesting. Like me, myself, I was more against Skrillex 10 or 15 years ago than I am now. Right now I'm just like, I'll leave him off. I don't know why that is.
But do you think that like the backlash to somebody like Fortet like collaborating with Skrillex or kind of legitimizing Skrillex is like Skrillex, like it or not, is part of the history of dubstep, is part of the history of electronic music. He popularized to like the nth degree dubstep, and for a lot of people was like their first, unfortunately, was what they thought of when when someone said, oh, especially I like dubstep.
Especially in America,
or, especially in America. But, you know, even a lot of the younger generation in the UK as well, who weren't going to like dubstep nights and who kind of missed out on what the feel... Because I used to go to a lot of dubstep shows when I was younger. I used to be really into it. And like, it's a genre of music that I think just should be experienced live. I don't think you can get the same out of it. Now, granted, this was like 2012 and I was listening to music on my fucking laptop and my laptop speakers. So like, fair enough. But like, do you think that like the backlash is the kind of the legitimization that he's getting now as being part of like the history of dubstep, and maybe like people enjoyed like hanging the death of dubstep on...
Yeah,
Skrillex,
I think there's definitely...
When actually there was like tens of other factors, like not least like just that genres and scenes like come and go, and they live and die, and they could be for like all manner of factors, like, you know, club spaces shutting down or people kind of evolving their sound. And I think with Skrillex, it's like he took the very, very like base level thing of dubstep and he elevated it into like a pop music sphere. And on paper, that's not something that is like, you know, that's not new or offensive. Like it's as offensive as, you know, anyone else in any other genre doing it. But yeah, maybe that's why people are mad, because it's like, oh yeah, I can't be mad at Skrillex now because my fave is...
Yeah, well, I think people, that annoys people and upsets people that, you know, somebody as holy as Fortet is in the sphere of Skrillex. But I think the real thing is going on here is that, you know, we live in a completely different musical landscape now, where there's genres aren't as siloed as they once were. So someone like Skrillex, who is bringing in people like Justin Bieber and Flo Dan and Missy Elliott and Pink Panther S in one album... It makes more sense in the pop landscape now. It makes more sense in the music landscape now. It makes more sense in Spotify's landscape. So it actually makes sense for anyone who's grown up listening to music and who is like 17 or 18 or 19 right now. That's the time where you're like, you don't care about dubstep and Skrillex and who's making what. And that's just the reality, I think, of what's actually happening here. But I just think it's been really interesting to watch, because especially like, you know, I followed... there's an artist that, or a writer who has a Substack, an electronic music writer has a Substack, who like basically wrote an article about why he won't write about Skrillex. But I should just think it's like, just engage with it. At least you might like discover something interesting yourself. You don't have to be like, oh, I'm never going to write about Skrillex. It's like, fine, if you want to. But like, also, I just think it's more interesting to engage with something than just be like, no, I'm gatekeeping this away from me. So I have been letting some of this into me, and it's like, it's been really like a fun, like, kind of DJ set almost. And that's the way I look at it. Like, it's like, I just think it's been really interesting. And what I like about the Fortet involvement in this is that he's clearly hasn't compromised anything that he's doing. The Times Square DJ set that they did, Fortet was the one who came in and played this absolutely ridiculous dubstep song in the middle of Times Square and absolutely wrecked the gaff. Let's go, Skrillex! And he was the one who had the idea to, they did the Madison Square Garden gig. His idea was to keep the lights on for the first 3 hours, to only play house music for the first 3 hours. And then he dictated how the lighting work and all that stuff. So I just think it's really interesting, because like, actually, there's a possibility here that like Fortet is showing Skrillex the ropes in a way. And I think that's also really interesting. And maybe Fred again as well, to a lesser extent. But not that Skrillex isn't a massive artist already, but I think the one thing that has eluded Skrillex over the years is like some sort of acceptance from people like Pitchfork, but maybe especially the electronic music gatekeepers, whether that be Resident Advisor or whatever else. So I just think it's an interesting thing that's happened. He's kind of circumvented that, and people are a bit mad about it. And so yeah, I just wanted to talk about it briefly. I thought it's an interesting thing that's developed. The DJ set the three of them did is good crack. And that's what it comes down to. I'm just like, I'm not angry about something that's just like...
It's not that deep. Yeah. Just enjoy it.
In this case, but I do think there are deep things to be.
Like Skrillex is pop music, like, and I think, you know, getting your hands all tied up about what it means for electronic music. It doesn't mean anything. He's a pop star. Like, you know, it's if you want to gatekeep and if you want to be mad at him for, like, I don't know, cultural appropriation of dubstep, like, absolutely have at it. But, like, you don't need to give him the time that you give to Fortet. Like, no one is really calling for that. Like, this is just reactionary shite. Yeah. You know?
I think so. And I think there's just, like, look, I mean, there's space for this to exist. And I just think you don't have to be, I think the reaction to this stuff has felt very 2010. The old guard 2010 is like, are suddenly up in arms again about Skrillex. And you're like, just let it be. It's fine. Like, people are enjoying themselves. Yeah, yeah. Like, there's a bit, there's people are clearly having fun. Fortet and Fred again and Skrillex are having fun together. Like, there's not enough fun in the world. You know, it's fine. Yeah. But I think that's interesting because, like, I would have thought if I was, like, thinking about myself 10 years later, I'd be like, I'll probably hate Skrillex even more in 10 years. But actually, I've, like, mellowed a little bit about him. I think that's interesting enough as well, just for me anyway, personally. Anyway, we'll move on.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
What have you got next for me?
Next, I have for you, Niall, I have a song from the Discord. It is Bully and Soccer Mommy, and the song is called Lose You. So Matthew in the Discord shared that with a lovely bit of fuzzy rock. And I was like, well, that sounds like it's up my street. And also considering I am a very, very big fan of Soccer Mommy. Bully, I wasn't aware of. Solo project of guitarist and singer Alicia Bognano, formed in Nashville. And I feel like you can get that kind of... in the verses, there is a bit of like a honky tonk sort of feeling. And then in the choruses, it is kind of woozy. It's a bit Smashing Pumpkins. It's a bit psychedelic, garage rock sort of vibe. And I think it's really lovely. I like their two voices together. I'm definitely going to check out Bully. It's just a nice song that kind of appeared this month that I was really glad to have recommended in the Discord. I'm kind of always, you know, wanting more Soccer Mommy songs, and she is good at kind of collaborating with people. I can't remember, she's done a few collaborations with a few different people that I've really liked. I don't have them to hand at the minute, but I think she's just an absolutely marvelous songwriter, particularly guitarist, and I love her and I really like this song.
Great. That's Bully, Soccer Mommy, Lose You. I have some alt jazz rap from Dublin now, which I don't think I've ever featured on this in this section before. So let's play a bit of Ugolino. And this is a song that came out last week called A Fonder Day. And here's the start of it.
We don't want no silly games of Saturday night. And I've been vetted in this shit alright. Taking talks to you twice, like how many times, too many times. Tongue tastes what it shouldn't. If I'm really being blunt, I just fuck you cause I could. Doesn't mean that I should. Where's the line between good and evil? I try to draw it every time, but just avoid my people, fuck. Splinters like my oldest memories. There's a smoke screen that's been fogging up the dreams. Got a team I like to talk about, but we don't really talk about it. Say we'll take that leap of faith, but then we just go walk around it. Mine's full of ideas that I hope you get to meet before I'm rolling in a seal proof. Purple velvet deep blue, 6 feet under, heartfelt. I needed you, and you weren't there. Oh, I could have. Yeah. Old habits don't die quick. Waking up late with the sleep from my eyelids. Rolling all the buff thumbs up, still smiling.
So that's Ugolino. They are the Dublin duo, lyricist Shane Richardson and composer producer Aaron Healy. I had these listed as one of our 20 best new Irish artists of 2022 on unknown.com. They had a few singles out and I just really like what they're doing. There's a mixture of kind of, that one especially is their big band jazz kind of stuff. Like, it's almost like something from the La La Land soundtrack or something, or some kind of Hollywood drama with some kind of colloquial rap style. I really like what they're doing. They had two songs out last week. Ugolino, Ugolino is what they're called. I'm keeping an eye out for them because I don't think they've done any gigs yet, but they are bringing in lots of some local Dublin jazz players as well and doing interesting things. Very different kind of thing that they're doing. I can kind of, it's almost like if you're taking some of the music that Kojak might be doing and turning it into a big band kind of orchestra stuff, and then some similar kind of rap style with that. So I really like this. Ugolino, A Fonder Day.
Cool. My last choice is we've got new music from Feist. First time we've heard from her music-wise since 2017. She has an album coming out next month April 14th. Called Multitudes, and she's released three songs in February: Hiding Out in the Open, In Lightning, and Love Who We Are Meant To. And the one I've chosen is Hiding Out in the Open.
Hiding out in the open, maybe I'm gonna let you down.
I think that's a really, really lovely song from Feist. It's so great to hear her voice again with some new sounds. Like, I've been listening to Feist for a very, very long time, and I feel like getting new songs from her is like such a treat. She was obviously in the news after pulling out of Arcade Fire's tour after the Dublin show and donating all of her merch sales to Women's Aid in Ireland, which I was really impressed by, and, you know, releasing a statement saying that she wasn't going to continue to tour with Arcade Fire after the allegations against Wynn Butler. So, you know, cool, cool girl.
Yeah, it did take a while though, didn't it? It did take a while for that to happen.
But these things, I do think, I mean, this is probably a separate conversation, but I do think that it's probably fair to give people a bit of a grace period to make these decisions.
Yeah, in fairness, she did write about that quite.
Contracts and, yeah.
But she wrote a piece about it, which kind of explains.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not always. I think in a similar way that we often look for an apology the day after somebody does something bad. We also, yeah, I feel like there should be a little bit of a period of reflection that we kind of allow people. And she took that. And I like that she did that, that she didn't pull out because of there was any pressure from the media or fans or anything. That she, it seemed to me anyway, to sit down, think about it, weigh up whether her pulling out would actually make a difference. And it did. But I mean, besides that, she's been doing a sort of a live show experience called Multitudes that is kind of in the round. And there's been like some kind of improvisational stuff. And yeah, I'm really interested to hear what Multitudes, the album, sounds like. Because I think this song is beautiful. I love songs that kind of have like a round in them, and you can hear it in the verses there. She kind of like triples her vocal lines in a round. And I just feel like that's not something that's done very often these days, which is very, very nice. And her vocals are just so, so beautiful. They always have been, but I just think on this song, they're just like elevating and like, yeah, they're so, so beautiful. Like I got shivers the first time I heard this song. I thought it was amazing. The other two songs are really good as well. Do check them out. But I'm very, very excited for the album. You strike me as a Feist fan, Niall.
Absolutely.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love Feist. Yeah. I went to see her in Tripod way back. I think they're actually like the first guest list I ever got for Nine Rhymes, like Tripod. It was Universal sorted me out. I think it was like, wow, this is so fun. I got in free.
I get to go to a gig for free.
Yeah. That was like just after 1, 2, 3, 4 and all that kind of stuff. And they, what's the album called then? A Reminder. I've always really liked Feist. I saw some of what she did at Sounds from a Safe Harbor a few years ago. Mary Hickson, the festival director, who works a lot with Bon Iver and The National, is involved in her show in some way as well, I believe. And so even there was some of that energy in the Kino, a very small venue that she played in. As part of
that, we also played in.
We also played in. Yes, that's true. Yeah. The only place we've ever played.
Yeah.
She's really interesting artist. I think she does things that are, she's searching and on a quest for trying to find something interesting in her
Yeah,
own
and
art.
I always get the impression that she was like kind of wise beyond her years. You know, so I'm so interested to kind of to hear an album from her now at the age she's at now with the experience she has now, what that sounds like and what sort of things she's going to be exploring in that. Because, you know, even her early stuff, you're like, wow, this is like, you know, like a 60-year-old or a 70-year-old reflecting on their life is the person you'd expect to be writing these songs. You know, she was always just so like imbues her music with such wisdom. I think she's amazing. I can't wait for this. This is one of my like, I'm very, very excited for this album choices for this year.
Great. Okay. I have two more choices to share with you. One is an Irish album from an artist called Costa. The album is called Twilight Transmission. Here is a bit of a song featuring Jape called The Object Spoke to Me.
We watch the painter paint, imagining release happening with peace. The water from your skin drips towards the sand, showering the ants. Thank you.
So that is from Twilight Transmission. Costa, Connor Kelly is the producer from Dublin. Album came out about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. A debut album on his own Midnight Tapes label. Much of it recorded and conceived during lockdown. A concept record about the fictional network of interconnected radio stations, mainly inspired by the outliers of radio station programming in an increasingly homogenous landscape. Name-checking in particular Donal Deneen, NTS and Dublin Digital Radio. Connor says the album, which also, as you heard there, features Jape, and also Fears is on it on one of the tracks. Influenced by trip-hop era, Portishead, Boards of Canada, post-dubstep, jazzy 90s hip-hop production, William Basinski, Tim Hecker's Radio Armor and Mad Villain. I think there's lots to recommend here. It's got a very unique atmosphere. It's got a very Dublin-centric feel to it, with some of the track called Vox on it, which has a Dublin woman talking about the streets that she occupies and lives in. And there is a sense of that kind of nocturnal late night radio stuff. There is a song on it called Late Night Jazz Radio as well. I think it's really, really good, and one in terms of an Irish context that you should definitely give a listen to.
I'd heard this album at the end of last year. I was putting together my ones to watch for the Irish Times, and I just like, what have you got coming up? And he sent me this album. I listened to it and I was just like, oh my god, yes. It's so beautiful and so like atmospheric, and it's definitely of a place. Yeah, I think like when I saw that Boards of Canada was a touch point for him, I was like, okay, yes, but also, you know, big claim. But then listening to it, I was like, yeah, I can definitely feel that here. Like, it's beautiful, and it is kind of quietly experimental. You know, it's not experimental in like, whoa, how did he do that? My mind is blown. But it's experimental in kind of what he does with narrative and place. I think this is a wonderful record. I think it's really, really lovely.
Yeah, often, you know, it's hard to find the time to include an extra recommendation about an album, so I think this is a perfect place for that. And so that's Costa, Chosta, Twilight Transmission is the name of that. Before we finish, I've started, as the last few months doing this, is including an old song. And my old song this month,
I keep
month.
Forgetting to do this every month. I'm like, okay, next month I'll pick an old song, fuck's sake.
Right, well, the next one is a very personal thing in a way, because it ties in with something that I'm experiencing again for the first time in a long time, and that is having a bath, Andrea. We got a bath
a nice
in the
spring
house.
Bath.
Yeah,
oh,
and it's so nice. And I had this tune on.
Okay,
last
Maya
week.
Sophia.
Yeah,
in your Maya Sophia bath era.
Time. Well, the tunes that I was obviously just going straight for relaxation and ambient music for me, instrumental music mainly. So I went with Tangerine Dream and Love on a Real Train, and let's just enjoy 30 seconds of that, because it's very sweet. Please. Listen, lovely. That's Tangerine Dream, a German band that were around since 1967. Do you know what the soundtrack is, or what song is the soundtrack from?
Yes, but only because I saw it in the Spotify.
Yeah,
playlist
it's
there.
Risky Business, the 1983 film starring Tom Cruise. Not one you'd automatically think of, but it's a great song, and it was
it's a very well known one.
So you're a kind of an instrumental ambient bath taker.
Yes, I was having a nice sound bath, but with water. Yeah, I was. Mm. Yeah, I like. It depends on what mood I'm in, but certainly, God, the novelty of having a bath, lads, it's so
absolutely
nice.
Absolutely, after love years the bath. When I'm having a bath, it's like girl boss feminism. Like I become my most like liberal white feminist. I'm like I have like a playlist. It's Taylor Swift. It's Beyonce. It's Enya a little bit. It's like girl power stuff in the bath. And I'm like just pretending I'm in a movie or something. But I love a podcast in the bath, but I have this weird thing. I also listen to podcasts like when I'm in the shower. I have this weird thing where I can't listen to like, if I know the person who's doing the podcast, I can't listen to it in the bath because I feel seen. So yeah. Oh, I love baths. I'm going to have one soon.
There you go.
Yeah,
I would just leave it on that note. But other than that, any movies, gigs, TV show, books,
the
any
Last
media
of Us.
You're enjoying? Yeah, that's it, really, isn't it?
Just love The Last of Us so much.
It's really
the highlight
good.
Of my week. It's so good, and I can't believe I'm going to play a video game. Like, what year is this? I'm going to play the game once I finish season one. But like, oh, it's so good. I love it. It's like, I'm just like thinking about it all week. And like, I love the feeling of like having to wait the week for it. I'm really happy that I'm watching it like while it's airing and getting that kind of like succession week to week thing. It's just great. All the performances in it are amazing. Episode 7, which was the latest one, was just like Bella Ramsey was just like, their performance throughout the whole thing is amazing, but particularly in episode 7. I just love it so much. And I have one book recommendation, which is a book called Nothing Special by Nicole Flattery. And it's a book about, or it's set in 1960s New York in Andy Warhol's factory, gallery or studio rather. And it's about a typist, one of the typists / transcriptionist who transcribed the conversations that became Andy Warhol's first book, a novel, and about her life. I will say, if you want a book about Andy Warhol, this is not it. This is very much like a internal kind of like a lot of gender politics, a lot of sexual politics, but like the 1960s and this kind of vibe and this atmosphere is there. It's really, really, really well written. Sally Rooney is a fan. She doesn't often, you know, give quotes for the front of books, but she gave one for this and said that that she loved it and loves her writing. I think it's out like this weekend-ish, so it'll be out by the time this podcast is out. And I highly recommend it.
Great. What else could I talk about? Oh, self-esteem. I went to see Self-Esteem.
Oh, yeah. How was
just,
it?
Just gone in the Olympia. Yeah, it was great. Obviously, we're seeing her in the Workman's. What was that? Was that the end of 2020? Or anyway, about a year ago, probably. And
it was as much in the pandemic that I had a ticket for it and I sold it because I was too scared to go.
Yeah, it was that outside. Time. It was like the first few months of coming back out again. But I remember watching her in Workman's going, this room is too small for her, what she's doing. Well, she's really amped it up again, even more. There's a big element of theatricality to the show. Don't want to give too much away, but there's a lot of costume changes and kind of more conceptual stuff. Somebody up the front row at the Olympia was asking for a song, and in the way that she, Rebecca Lucidetter, does, she was like, it's a conceptual, like, she jokingly but also seriously was like, it's a conceptual show, you dickhead, don't be asking for songs.
Good.
So I enjoyed that. She had two new songs, one really good one called Mother. And I think she's doing great things and really just encapsulating that Prioritized Pleasure album in a lovely augmented way live.
Best
it was a really, really great
as well.
Gig.
I tour this all the time. It's great. It's just a great name for the tour.
I tour this all the time. Yeah great gig. Great Sunday night gig. So that was fun. And that's pretty much it for us, I think, on this Best of the Month podcast. Next month, there are new albums from Slow Thai, Fever Ray, M83, Unknown Mortal Orchestra, Eve's Tumor, Lana, and Boy Genius. So I'm sure we'll be talking about some of those by the time when you get back.
Yes.
But in the meantime, have a great one. Enjoy yourself in India. Oh, the other thing is we are thinking about, you're obviously away, but we're thinking about some of the people in the Discord and myself are talking about having a little meetup as part of the Meet Me in the Bathroom screening in the Lighthouse on the 11th of March. So if you're in the Discord, come in and say hello to that. So we might have an old, we might go to a film screening as part of that. That's the 11th of March in the Lighthouse at 6:30. So yeah, looking forward to seeing that with people, and we might even be talking about Meet Me in the Bathroom in the next couple of weeks with a special guest. Who knows? Who knows?
Will Andrea, I be there?
You won't be there.
What? For fuck's sake! This is the worst holiday ever.
It is not.
Absolutely raging. Oh my God. Okay.
You can tell me all your thoughts when you get home.
I look forward to the episode. Actually, yeah, it will be nice to actually like listen to an episode and not like be there. Okay.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week. Thanks, Andrea. Enjoy your trip.
Thanks, Niall.
Enjoy.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.